Hi there, and welcome to the 21st episode of Fresh Ubuntu. I am recording this on Saturday, December 9th, 2006. Fresh Ubuntu is a weekly podcast about the Linux distro Ubuntu and its family of distros, Kubuntu and Zubuntu. It's a show that gives you useful how-tos, tips, and tricks, and helping you to migrate from your current operating system to Ubuntu Linux. I also like to throw in a little bit of community news and Linux news in general. Inside, we have just that. A little bit of news. I show you a little something new that I discovered while using EdgyEft, a nice little utility. And also I have a command line command of the week this week. Before we get to that, I would like to welcome you. Thank you for joining me today. Again, like I said, today is December 9th, and we're getting ready for Christmas. To give you some idea how it's been in the past week, we have been experiencing close to freezing temperatures and then getting up into the upper 40s later on in the day. And it's been rather cold here for me. Yes, I know in some other places it might be colder, but no, I still haven't got all my shopping done. In fact, I'm more of a last-minute shopper. I think that's where you find the most excitement, really. And as I find, if I wait a little later than usual, the crowds seem to get less busier and less busier the closer it gets to Christmas. And that's a little appealing. You still get sort of the ambiance of the Christmas season, but without all the crowds. So anyway, I look forward to doing a bit of shopping in the coming weeks and then having a nice little Christmas with the wife and kids and other family as well. Again, thanks for joining me. I've got a lot of good things inside. We have a review of a nice little utility in Ubuntu. It's a disk utility. And I have a command line command of the week as well. I'll read a few of your emails and comments. But first off, let's start with the news. Okay, the first item in the news today first appeared in the Oregonian on Tuesday, December 5th, 2006, written by Mike Rogaway, and he reports that the Linux Backer Open Source Development Labs idles a third of their staff. There have been 9 people who have been laid off, 8 of them in Beaverton, Oregon, at the headquarters of the Open Source Development Labs. And to take a little excerpt from the story, it says here that open source developers are dispersed around the world, but Oregon has become a center for activity. Both IBM and Intel base their Linux development work in Oregon, and the presence of OSDL and Torvalds has attracted additional attention. A major industry conference, the O'Reilly Open Source Convention, is also held annually in Portland. Following Monday's cuts, OSDL said, the organization will focus on 4 areas: supporting key developers, including Torvalds, increasing legal support for Linux and other open source projects, and sponsoring regional activities and fostering collaboration among developers. Take out of that what you will. I will post a link to the article on my website at freshubuntu.com. On to the second item. Ubuntu 7.04 Feisty Fawn Herd 1 has been released to developers in the past week, and it is still an alpha release. In other words, do not install it on production machines. The final stable version will be released in April 2007. In this release, they will be having the new version of GNOME, GNOME 2.17, as well as the new 2.6.19 kernel. Games to be included in the Herd 1 release: Sudoku and chess, and I will post a link to the announcement as well as a link to where you can download Herd 1. And there is an opportunity for those of you who are developers or want to help out with the development of Feisty Fawn to report bugs and participate in the formation of Feisty Fawn. The website is at www.ubuntu.com/testing/herd1, and on that page is a way to download the ISOs, also as well as the torrent. Again, you have been cautioned. This version is for developers and those of you who wish to help in the development and should not be put on any production machines. And for those of us who thought that open source was only for software, some folks in Germany have started to do an open source version of the car. You can visit the project at the oscarproject.org, i.e. Oscar Project. According to the site, it is the goal of the Oscar Project, according to open source principles. And in their opinion, a car is not a vehicle full of high-tech gadgets. Instead, they're looking for a simple and functional concept to spread mobility. And in their words, form follows function. You can also join in on the ideas and jump to the forum. They have a way for you to register and offer your opinions or your help. Link to that is at www.theoscarproject.org. I will post a link at freshubuntu.com. And they are still in release 0.2, so it's early. And if you feel like you have the wherewithal to help out, go ahead and register there at the site. That's it for the news this week. Thank you for joining me, and let's get on with the main segment. Talk about a nice utility that I discovered while playing around with the Edgy Eft release of the operating system, and it's called the Disk Usage Analyzer, aka Baobab. And let me preface this by saying, if you have ever wondered how big your directories are, or what files are taking up what space on your hard drive, this is a perfect utility to find out exactly that type of information. I found the Disk Usage Analyzer under the Applications Accessories menu, and it is aptly named Disk Usage Analyzer. Now, KDE has its own version of a Disk Usage Analyzer as well, which I think does things a little bit better than the GNOME version does, and I'll explain to you that in a moment. But let's go through the GNOME version first, and if you pop up the Disk Usage Analyzer, you will get a window of the program, and at the top there is the menu. The first menu item is Analyzer, the second one is Edit, the third is View, and the fourth is Help. There is also a icon bar at the top with icons for the file system, folder, and network. There's also a way to sort alphabetically and to sort numerically. There's a search button as well and a stop button that stops whatever you're doing at the current time. What you first want to do is analyze your file system by scanning it. Okay, you go to the Analyzer menu and press Scan File System. Of the options in the drop-down menu are Scan File System, Scan Selected Folder, or Scan Remote Folder. And there's also an option to quit at that point. So, I scanned my file system, and I'm going to take a look at what is in my home folder. The first entry in the Disk Usage Analyzer window under the directory tree is, of course, your file system directory, which is the topmost level of your directories tree. And it tells me that there's 10.8 gigabytes that are being used right now with 20 objects within that file system. Of the 20 below that, the top directory under the file system is the home directory. That's where I keep all my documents and folders, desktop settings, etc. And if you click on the little triangle-shaped arrow under Home. It'll expand the directory structure. Under my home directory, it has my directory that keeps all my documents, photos, music, and other things that I keep on there as well, on top of the documents. And basically, it's like the My Documents folder in Windows. And under my home folder, under the Harlem directory, for instance, there is a folder in under that directory called My Pictures. That's where I keep all my pictures. And out of all the 10.4 gigabytes being used, 3.3 gigabytes of the 10.4 are pictures. I have a lot of pictures over the years. I've been saving up pictures since 99 or something like that. And it has grown to be quite a large directory, large folder. So one unique thing about Disk Usage Analyzer is it will give you a graphical representation of your files under your home folder or under your whole file system if you wish to. And how you do and how you get a graphical representation is you click on one of the folders on the Disk Usage Analyzer, then go to the View drop-down menu, and at the very bottom is Graphical Usage Map. Click on that, and then it will pop up a graphical representation of your directories according to its size. And I'll have pictures up at my website to show you. A screenshot of the Disk Usage Analyzer and a screenshot of the graphical usage map. Okay, this is a really handy little utility for letting you know how big your directories are. And certain directories, if you ever wanted to find out, you can figure out where all your disk space is going. If you ever run out of space, you can find out which directories are using the most space and perhaps get rid of some of the directories that you no longer use. Be very careful when deleting directories, as it could contain some very important files that the operating system needs to use. Of course, always make a backup. Now, as I stated earlier, KDE does a little bit of a better job with its Disk Usage Analyzer, and along the same lines as GNOME's or Ubuntu's Disk Usage Analyzer, it lets you know how big your directories are, which directories are the largest, and it will sort and do this very much the same things as GNOME's or as Ubuntu's will. However, the difference here is that it has a split window under the Disk Usage Analyzer and will give you a graphical representation of your directory structure as well on the same screen. So it doesn't pop up another screen like Ubuntu's does. So you can show that on the same screen. And so let's take a look at how KDE does it, how Kubuntu does it. They have a Disk Usage Analyzer called KDIRSTAT, K-D-I-R-S-T-A-T, and it's a directory statistic utility. And as you first open it up, it will give you an option to select which directory that you want to take a look at. So it will allow you to choose your directory, so you make a choice, and it will, at that point, once you have made a choice, scan that particular directory. And as it's scanning, it's really quite quick, actually. I believe a much better implementation of the technology than the way Ubuntu does it. And it's very quick. Unlike the GNOME version, KDE, in fact, kind of walks you through the whole setup. Now, as I said, it will scan your directory, and in the same window, it will give you the same graphical usage map, you know, in that same window, in a split screen. At the top window is your directory structure, and on the bottom window is the graphical representation of it. Now, if you press one of the directories in the top window, that will make the bottom window, the graphical usage map, it will also highlight that section of the disk where that directory is at, as displayed on the usage map. It's a really cool little utility the way they implement it in Kubuntu is much, much better than the way they implement it in Ubuntu. Fortunately, I have all three of the available desktop packages on my laptop. So if I ever needed to use something like this, I would in particular choose how KDE Desktop implements this type of technology. So in a nutshell, you can get your disk usage information through one of two ways. You can get it through the disk usage analyzer through the Ubuntu package, or you can do it through the disk usage analyzer called KDIRSTAT, K-D-I-R-S-T-A-T, or Directory Statistics under the Kubuntu package. Both very usable. One much more usable than the other. I would default to the way that Kubuntu does it over the way that Ubuntu does it, just because you don't have to go through that extra step of finding the graphical map of your disk. Whereas under the Kubuntu package, it walks you through it from the beginning a little more intuitively than the Ubuntu package, and on top of that, will give you the same graphical map in the same window. So there you have it. That is disk usage analyzers under Ubuntu and Kubuntu. I hope you enjoyed this section, and I hope you use it. Really informative, and as I play around with it more, I will post pictures as well of both the Ubuntu package and the Kubuntu package. And I hope you enjoy that too. Alright, it's now time for the command line command of the week. And this week, it is aliases, or alias. This command line command was submitted by Jason Watkins. This example was from the O'Reilly Press book, Ubuntu Hacks, chapter 6, page 209. I have the same book as well, and it's a great book for anyone out there who wants to get into the meats and potatoes of the operating system. But anyway, let's get on with the command line command. And you can use an alias as a shortcut to a proper command that can be entered in the terminal. It can be handy with long and very verbose commands. And if you are a poor typist, help alleviate that end of your work. And before you can use any aliases, you have to declare them in your .bashrc file. It resides in a hidden directory in your home directory. You want to edit your bashrc file, so you can use sudo command, sudo getit.bashrc to open your file. Save a copy of your file before you make any changes to it. You can now begin to edit your bashrc file. And in the book, O'Reilly's Ubuntu Hacks, he suggests to alias the apt-get commands. And there are several apt-get commands, and he suggests to alias the apt-get update command to agu. Now, you would simply just edit that bashrc file and include this line, alias space agu equals apostrophe sudo space apt-get space update and close apostrophe. Now what this does is this makes agu equivalent to giving the command sudo apt-get update. So you can put into your command line terminal the command or the alias agu, and it will run sudo apt-get update as if you had typed in sudo apt-get update. Now you can do this for several commands that you use often but don't wish to type in. I will post a link to this particular set of commands, again taken from O'Reilly's Ubuntu Hacks, and you can change all the apt-get commands to aliases. Just another way, another little shortcut to get through your command line commands that you wish to use and you use on a regular basis. Again, I'll post Jason's whole command line tip up on the website at freshubuntu.com. I hope you enjoy this one. This is really rather helpful, especially if you use the command line often. So anyway, enjoy this little tip. Thank you very much to Jason for providing me this tip. Also, if you also have a tip that you would like to send to Fresh Ubuntu, you can go right ahead by emailing me, or even better, sending it in your own words by recording it yourself and sending me the recorded MP3 file. Thank you for joining me for Command Line Command of the Week, and thanks again to Jason. Let's take a look at your emails today. I got an email from a gentleman named Robert Marshall, and he states, Harlem, in one of the last couple of podcasts, you were pondering about the phrase Black Friday for the day after Thanksgiving, contrary to Black Thursday and the other black days beginning negative when the stock market crashed. This black day is a good day. As you probably know, the term red ink is used by accountants when there is a loss of income. That comes from the color of the ink being used, red, to indicate losses. Well, the opposite of that is black ink, which represents a positive balance. Someone somewhere along the way decided that the day after Thanksgiving is the only shopping day of the year where every company in America actually makes money. Hence, all the ledgers were written in black. Hence, Black Friday. Probably a wives' tale, but the story nonetheless. Later, Robert. Thanks, Robert. That was a nice, very nice explanation. And thank you for emailing. And thanks for subscribing, too. And now I have a comment left by Nanda Sunu Dasa. He says, Hi, Harlem. Thanks for the podcast. Very informative and helpful. I've been using Ubuntu and Linux for just over a year and listening to your podcast for a few weeks now. Found your podcast through iTunes. I dual boot. But use Liferia, an RSS aggregator, to download now. Liferia uses wget to download podcasts, so this may explain some of the wget appearances on your stats. Just to mention that the transparent terminal thing isn't new. You can enable this on most terminal emulators and have been able to for some time. Some ideas for the future podcast, maybe have a look at the new music editor, Joe Kosher, and let us know what you think. Also, could you let us know which other Ubuntu Linux podcasts you recommend? P.S. Sound levels are fine for me. Thanks for writing, Nanda. And yeah, I will in the future use Joe Kosher. I just put it on there about the same time I put on Edgy Eft. I think release 0.2 came out shortly after that. And so I plan to use it. However, it's on my laptop right now. I just need to get it up onto a faster computer. Both of my computers are rather slow at this point, but we'll see. I would really like to use Joe Kosher and see how it actually fits in. It won't work on my laptop simply because the microphone that I use is a Plantronics DSP-500, and even though it does work sometimes, and I've gotten it to work on my laptop, the sound coming out into the earphones is quite loud, and I can't lower the volume on it. The volume is still at one level, and it's very loud and very annoying. Once I get Joe Kosher onto a faster computer, I will give it a try, and I will let everyone know at Joe Kosher how it worked out. I have played around with it a little bit. I did get to try and use Joe Kosher, even though the mild annoyance of the headphones being too loud, I got to use it. So far, not too bad. The editing part is somewhat shaky, but again, I will give you a more thorough user experience in probably at the beginning of the year. So I look forward to that. And thank you very much, Ananda, for writing. Thank you very much for listening. As far as Ubuntu Linux podcasts, I actually listen to the Ubuntu OS podcast. They haven't put one up in a long time. Every now and again, I listen to Linux Reality. Those are the only two that I listen to. I believe Lug Radio is another Linux-specific podcast, and I believe run by Jono Bacon, or at least Jono Bacon is one of the personalities on that podcast, who just happens to be the developer for Joe Kosher. So those are basically the three that I would recommend. Thank you again for writing. Thank you for listening and subscribing. As far as Wget is concerned, I really like to see those hits to the site. Pleasantly surprising to see that command line commands are still being used to this day. Thanks again for writing. This next email is from Donald Fritz Jr. He wrote an email to me saying, "I was just wondering why you're adding music from bands." I wrote back to him and I said, "I just wanted to add a little flavor to the podcast. And that is the reason why. I hope you all like the music." Again, if I haven't gotten many complaints, hope to continue to do that as one of the little added features to the podcast. Put in a little bit of excitement and, you know, a little bit of, again, flavor. Thanks, Don, for writing me. And thanks again for subscribing, Don. This last email is from Jitender Kapoor. He says, "Hi, Harlem. Thanks very much for your very informative podcast. I've played each one of them repeatedly. I have followed all the instructions in the Edgy documentation and installed the necessary packages in order to play any regular DVD like a movie, but no luck. The mPlayer opens and it knows there is a DVD in the drive. Then the player itself disappears. He has a 256 megabyte RAM and 733 Pentium 3 and ATI All-in-Wonder graphics card. Any help would be really appreciated." And Jay, I just want to let you know, hopefully you got my email. I gave some links there about codecs and restricted formats. I hope you got that. And hopefully that is the problem. Oftentimes when the proper codecs are not installed, not oftentimes, but 100% of the time, if a codec is not installed, which the media file needs to use to play onto your system, is not loaded, or is not on your system, it will not play. And so hopefully that was the problem. You can check out the Ubuntu forums at ubuntuforums.org for any continued help, although I did give you the links to the Ubuntu forum with an explanation to your specific predicament. Jitender, or Jay, excuse me, Jay, thank you for listening. Thank you for being a supportive listener, subscribing, and good luck with that. Hopefully you've got it to work. Email me back if it doesn't, and maybe I can help you a little bit further, okay? Thank you again. Well, that's it for our show this week. Thank you for joining me at Fresh Ubuntu. And if you would like to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me one of two ways now. The first way is at freshubuntu.com. You can leave a comment at my blog, or you can send me an email. You can send that email to freshubuntu@gmail.com. And thank you very much for listening. I hope you had a great week this week, and I hope you have a good week this week. Be safe during the holidays. Thank you for your continued support, for your continued subscribership. Tell a friend about the podcast and spread the word about Ubuntu. Again, thank you for joining me, and I will talk to you again next week. Special thanks to the artist who provided bumper music for this episode. Music provided by IOTA PromoNet and the Podshow PodSafe Music Network. Music and links to the artist will be on freshubuntu.com.